Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is March 4th, 2024. We have a regular assembly meeting today. We'll call the meeting to order. The clerk, please call the roll.
Mark.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Rob.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Donna.
Here.
Thomas.
Here.
Bob.
Here.
Thank you.
Full assembly in the chambers today. It's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, that brings us to approval of minutes from February 5th, 2024 assembly meeting. I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Lynn. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No opposition. Okay, item four, amendment and approval of the meeting agenda presented today. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of moving forward with the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no opposition, we'll move forward. Okay, item five, public hearings. Today we have two public hearings. The first one is on Ordinance 2024-01. This is an ordinance amending Section 16.12.160, required authorization for disposal of borough real property of the Petersburg Municipal Code to increase the assessed property value requirement for sale or exchange of borough property to be ratified by the voters of the Petersburg Borough. So is there anyone in the audience that would like to participate in this public hearing? And for the new people that just came in, there's the public hearing for Ordinance 2024-01. So if anybody would like to speak to that ordinance in the public hearing, now's your chance. Okay, seeing none, that public hearing is closed. Second public hearing on the agenda today is for Ordinance 2024-02. This is an ordinance amending Section 16.12.030 of the Petersburg Municipal Code to allow for disposal of borough land for a public benefit purpose. Anyone like to participate in that public hearing today? None, that public hearing is also closed. Bid awards, item six. There are no bid awards today. Brings us to item seven, persons to be heard on items related to today's agenda. Anybody like to speak to items related to items on the agenda? Remind everybody there's a 5-minute time limit, so please state your name and who you represent.
Hi, my name is Michelle Fent, and I'm speaking for myself. I want to address the Ordinance 2024-03, the ordinance adjusting the budget. In particular, I will speak to the subsection 9, the transfer of $60,000 to the borough's attorney's fees budget to cover extra expenses incurred by the Kerr and Koenig's lawsuits. I must say first that I am no longer a member of the Alaska Bar Association, and as such, I cannot provide you with legal advice. However, I hope that you will listen to me as a citizen of the borough of Petersburg. I would ask that you table subsection 9 until you have full disclosure of all aspects of the two claims from the firm currently acting as the attorneys for the borough. The administrative staff are charged with doing their job for the sake of its citizens, not for the sake of the administration itself. It is past time for the administration to do its job and provide Mr. Koenig's with the requested information. They need to provide him with the entire Deamer report and other requested documents, and they need to do it now. All assembly persons should have the judge's January ruling in Mr. Koenig's case. I suspect that you do not have it, so let me tell you what it contains. The judge ruled that none of the privileges claimed by the borough's attorneys regarding the Deamer report were viable, and that this report was not a personnel document, as the borough claimed. This is now a public ruling against the borough of Petersburg. If you do not have the ruling in hand, then you should ask yourself why you have not received it. If you were mistakenly not provided with the report, then ask yourself why. Have you received all rulings and filings in this case? Why not? Do you know who these records protect? Have you received the filing from the 23rd of last month in which Mr. Koenig's attorneys outlined how the borough has not been following the judge's order from January? Do you know that your duty is not to protect the administrative staff, any assembly persons, or any one individual? It is to protect the citizens of the borough and our right to hold our government accountable by receiving public records. Remember that you're ultimately responsible for the decisions made. Do you only get partial reports when the administration wants more money to finance the decisions that they have taken out of your hands? If you don't know the ins and outs of why the administration is now asking for more money, then who made that decision in your stead? You have the power to know these things because you control the purse. Refuse to give more of my tax dollars and even Mr. Koenig's tax dollars to violate a judge's ruling without a full accounting of the case from your attorneys. The judge in Mr. Koenig's case will apply the settled case law to every document and not just the Deamer report. The judge in Mr. Koenig's case clearly said in her 32-page ruling that the borough has none of their claimed privileges to rely on anymore. Mr. Koenig's will eventually get every record, unless it has only been seen by Ms. Heidemann, Mr. Gaisbrick, and Ms. Thompson. Any documents or emails seen or jointly generated by past or present assembly members, other attorneys, or other borough employees are not privileged. That is the bulk of the records Mr. Koenig's has requested. If the only reason for the funds is because the insurance company demands that the borough defend their position, then you need to get the insurance to pay now or to sign an indemnity. Because you're spending money for their interests and not for the interests of the citizens. You have a judge's ruling now. This ruling will likely result in Mr. Koenig's attorney fees being paid by the borough because the borough did not follow the law and the suit was justified. You need an attorney that either tells you the judge was totally off her rocker, which they won't because she wasn't, or they need to explain to you how you will win at appeal. You need to know what the borough's attorney's recommendation is from their lips or with their signature, telling you that you have any hopes of winning to proceed any further. If you do not have this recommendation for either case, then stop spending money on a losing cause. Any borough citizen has the right to see public documents. I'm assuming my time's close to up. Thank you.
You have a minute left.
A minute?
Yeah.
I've read faster. Well, I was just saying, this has been a case of hiding, and it's got to stop. The citizens don't want to have it hid anymore. They have the right to see the documents. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. Is there anyone else in the audience or Zooming in? It doesn't look like there's many people Zooming in, but would like to speak on items related to today's agenda. Please step forward and state your name and who you represent. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item 8. Persons to be heard on items not on today's agenda. Is there anyone that would like to speak on items not on today's agenda?
Related but different matter. Again, Michelle Funt, speaking for myself. And same clause applies. I'm not with the bar anymore. I apologize that I have to say that every time. If I had known, I might have done things differently. However, I do hope that you can listen to me. I would like to tell you that I would like to see you as assembly members do in the coming future as it concerns the two lawsuits in which the borough is currently embroiled. Seeing this additional request for monies to defend these cases made me wish that each assembly person would ask themselves to which attorneys this amount is going, these funds. Officially, Ms. Heidemann is the borough attorney, and it was her advice that has landed the borough in the two cases that it now fights. I want to tell you how I know that the judge in Mr. Koenig's case is not off her rocker, but how I think that Ms. Heidemann is. She advised Ms. Thompson over 3 years ago to not release records based on privileges that the judge in Mr. Koenig's case is now disallowing. This might not seem so egregious until you find out that the impetus for that advice was an email that I sent to Ms. Thompson at that time, which she assured me that she had discussed with Ms. Heidemann, and that was regarding a records request for the exact same materials as Mr. Koenig's request by another citizen. My email outlined, to a less impressive degree than the judge's, exactly what the judge's ruling contained regarding the records sought by Mr. Koenig's. Why was I able to offer that analysis over 3 years ago? Because it was established statutory law and case law that addressed records requests. No attorney who ignores established case law or statutory law is serving the interests of their client. And if they misrepresent the law to their client, that attorney should be fired. The Assembly needs to discontinue any contracts with Ms. Heidemann for either the present or the future. She has failed to offer proper legal representation on behalf of the citizens of Petersburg or to the borough administration. I suspect that if you receive full disclosure of the two cases, you might find that to be true. Additionally, I would like to see the Assembly wade through the doublespeak here. $60,000 to cover extra expenses incurred is doublespeak for help us to fight this case longer until Mr. Koenigs either dies or runs out of money. I want you to know that Mr. Koenigs is not fighting this battle alone. There are others who want to hold the government of the Petersburg Borough to account for their actions. There are citizens who will step in to continue this lawsuit so that the citizens of the borough will not have to fight these battles in the future. Our government is owned by each one of us, and it was formed for the benefit of each one of us. As such, the borough administration needs to be directed to release the records that Mr. Koenigs has asked for over and over, and for which they have no legal privileges to withhold. And for heaven's sake, you need to check into the records that are being requested. Make up your own minds about who the records are protecting. If you don't know that the tale of one party wanting to restrict the release of the information and the other party wanting to release it is a lie by this time, then why don't you know that? You need to get answers to the relevant questions in this case. Then I would wish for you to try and save some of the tax dollars of the citizens of Petersburg by stepping forward and demanding the release of the public records and by starting to negotiate with Chief Kerr about his suit. Until you know what really happened and what the borough might be on the hook for, then you are not doing your job of governing well. Until you know that what he is looking for as a remedy, then you are endangering the borough itself by allowing the administration to make these decisions for you while only the attorneys get rich. You need to make a decision for each of yourselves about what you expect out of these lawsuits. This is not micromanaging, because the decision-making needed for lawsuits is outside of the general duties of administration by the borough staff. The administrative staff are not our elected representatives. That distinctive honor falls to you. Please demand a full accounting of the cases from the attorneys themselves. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. Is there anyone else in the audience? I thought I saw more interest on views not on today's agenda.
I am Bob Martin with the Harbor Board. I guess we're not on the agenda. I think I'm in the right spot here. Thanks for that work session on the 15th of last month. You gave us little bit of boost to have a meeting on the 21st and get the ball rolling on a sort of a framework to allow for the sale of borough tidelands that works for everybody. And I'll just go through the five things we talked about. Three of them, there are three pieces to the framework. There's compensation to the Harbor Enterprise Fund, a definition of a marine industrial district, kind of a zoning overlay that we could maybe apply to these unnamed properties yet, but a designation that would alleviate some of the concern of what would happen when they're no longer controlled by lease agreements. And that's going to be the stickiest part, some definitions of marine industrial use that everyone can feel comfortable with, so it doesn't become sort of an out of control retail area or some kind of a non-marine use or a seasonal use that we don't want. And the third part of that framework is a process to handle these potential applications in a consistent manner with some findings of fact that pertain to how this is in the borough's interest, if it is. And that way it's not just a case by case. It is a case by case basis, but it's got a certain questions that we could ask and determine whether we should further entertain a sale. And so we're working on those. We don't have anything to present to you yet. I think some of the zoning language might be going for before an attorney or something before we see that again. And then the fourth item on our agenda was the Island Refrigeration application to purchase the borough property. And we decided to just postpone that because we want to get this framework ironed out first. It was in no way a reflection on our, that we weren't supportive of this application. And then the fifth item was the Fierce Allegiance Ocean Beauty Seafoods lease assignment. We recommended in favor of granting them that assignment, but it's very conditional on that use being as specified in the 1994 lease document, where it is for loading fish. And it's okay to use that for parking, but it's substantially for loading fish, not just vehicle parking. If it's going to be vehicle parking, there's a lot of competing demands for parking in that area. So we'd ask you that if you do approve that, it needs to be revisited as leases are, and to see if it complies with that use. And thank you. And I do have another note. The Fish and Game Advisory Committee is going to have a meeting in this room here, March 20th, 6:30 p.m., to discuss the blind slough king salmon sport fishing restrictions. Just a way to get that notice out there. There should be department people, maybe some SARA people, to get answers straight from the horse's mouth. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony today. Anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on items not on today's agenda? Yep. Step forward, state your name and who you represent. And there is a 5-minute time limit. But
I'm Brock Snyder, got Island Refrigeration. I applied for that piece of land off of Dock Street. And I just wanted to tell you guys that I'm grateful for the care that you're putting into all of this. And I don't want to hinder the overall scheme at all. But I feel like I went to the work session, and that was just good to see everybody trying to come up with the best solution there. And then I went to the Harbor Board meeting, and once again, just seeing everybody trying to do what is overall best. And I just wanted to just say that the overlay that's going to be put over, like when I put my application in, it was kind of like in the middle of this whole process. And I just wanted to say that whatever overlay gets put on that area for marine industrial use, that I'm for that. I wouldn't be opposed to that. So like if my application, I don't know when exactly it's going to come up, but I just wanted everybody to know that I am for that overlay and not opposed to it in any way. So if like it came into effect after I was able to purchase it, it sounded like Liz said that there, I didn't really have a choice in that anyway. So, I just wanted to make that clear, and that I am grateful for the efforts you guys are making to help us succeed and trying to help the fleet succeed. And so I just wanted to let you know that I'm positive towards that overlay. That's about all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony today. Anyone else in the room that would like to speak to items that are not on today's agenda? Forward. Item 9, boards, commission, and committee reports. There are none on the agenda today. Consent agenda. There are two items, and we'll handle them separately. The item A, Reno/Schoenberg lease renewal. The lease of Tideland Parcel T-25ATS9 is up for renewal effective March 1st, 2024, at an annual rate of $1,164. I'd entertain a motion to approve that lease renewal.
Shall move.
Second.
Motion made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Stanton Greger. Any discussion? Member Lynn.
I have a question. What's the length of this lease? Is it 50 years again? Does anybody know?
Are these all 50-year leases with five-year renewals?
An amended, through the mayor, I'm sorry. The original lease was in 1989, and it's been amended seven times for just the various things. And I'm trying to figure out. Original lease was dated February 1st, 1984, and I don't have a date on it. I'm sorry. We can get back to you on that.
Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. I think we did a flip-flop.
I did it backwards, sorry. Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes. Hey, the lease renewal is approved. Item B, Petersburg Port Dock Corner Dolphin Engineering Services Proposal. In the fiscal year 2024 budget, the Assembly approved use of $100,000 of the Marine Passenger Fee and Commercial Passenger Vessel Fund for design of a passenger tourist ship mooring dolphin at the port dock. PND Engineers Incorporated has provided a proposal for engineering services for this project for a cost not to exceed $100,000. I'd entertain a motion to approve this proposal.
So move.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Marsh, seconded by Member Newman. Any discussion? Marsh.
Thank you. So this is not new money that we're allocating or requesting, but this was previously approved. Is that where we are on this?
That's the way I understand it.
Okay.
And I'd have a question for the harbor master. So Glow, is this the dolphin that's south of the Petro Dock to extend the tie-up ability?
Yeah, this is the engineering portion of it. So we need to get it engineered and get it, you know, all specced out on what the costs and those kind of things would be. So we don't expect to use $100,000, but we wanted it up to that. The last time we had this run by PND, it was about a year ago. So we wanted to not waste anybody's time and get your approval before we move forward.
Okay, now this is something we've been talking about for quite some time. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, that passes unanimously as well. Item 11, report of other officers. Petersburg Medical Center update. PMC CEO Hofstetter is unavailable to attend in person due to travel, but has provided a written update on activities at the medical center. And I see we have Mr. Kuhn and Mr. Roundtree zooming in. So is there any questions of the report? So I have someone ask me recently about the recent visit to Juneau, where a few members of the hospital board and Member Lynn and CEO Hofstetter visited with Senator Stedman and talked about potential funding from the state, and they asked what was the outcome of that meeting. And from my discussion with our lobbyist was that Senator Stedman said he didn't think there would be any state money. So I'm just kind of curious how we're going to move forward from here. We had the work session with the hospital board, and I asked this question, and it talked about, you know, other funding opportunities, and one of them was USDA. So I know we're still moving forward with the work building, but I'm just kind of curious what what's coming next after that. So if anybody has any updates, Member Lynn.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Mr. Hofstetter, but I do know that he's pursuing at least two other avenues of funding. And it's, you know, it's number one priority for the hospital board, and it's number one priority for him. And I also know that he's been looking at, you know, also looking at other types of loans, particularly USDA side, that, but he doesn't want to use that on unless we can't find other options. But looking at, and again, I don't want to speak for him, but he, looking at options, there's, I think that with the changes in Medicare revenues that would come in based on a new building and the offset of with what we can get out. In other words, what it does is that you can depreciate that over another 30, 40 years, and the depreciation almost pays for whatever the loan, whatever the annual loan rate would be, pretty close. But there has to be a lot more work done on that. And so it's not, definitely not sitting around. It's, he's moving on with it.
Okay, I figured I'd try to get an answer for the people that asked me that. So is there any other questions on the medical center's update? Move on to item B, U.S. Forest Service update. District Ranger Bourne will provide an update on the Forest Service activities.
Good afternoon, Mayor Jensen and Assembly members. Thanks for letting me speak for a few minutes today. Again, I'm Ray Bourne. I serve as a district ranger here at Petersburg Ranger District for the Forest Service. First thing I want to talk about is the forest plan update. You should have a letter that I put in front of you. That's the invitation to what's going on. You should all have a copy of this. This is sent out. This is dated February 12th. This is the start of the discussion of reaching out for community involvement in it. As we talk about that, you know, we want to invite you to attend a community workshop that we're planning for community on April 23rd. And that's from 4 to 7 p.m. here at the Borough Chambers. That's an opportunity for the community and everybody in the community to come and talk to us about what they see we need to do going forward with the forest plan revisionist process. There are information webinars starting this month, this week actually, and you should have also a brochure that looks kind of like this. It's got a little QR code on it that you can tune into the webinars and find out what's going on with it. These are informational webinars. First one is, what is a forest plan revision? And that'll be this week. And there'll be one every week and for the month of March on Wednesday evenings for people to tune in and understand what's going on. But it also gives you a link to provide feedback, provide information, and keep up with what's going on a regular basis as we move forward with the process. So there's a lot going on. The process is going to take 3 to 4 years. So 2027 is the target to be done with this. So this year is the information gathering year. So we're reaching out to communities, to tribes, to tribal corporations to gather information. We're doing community workshops here in Petersburg as well as in Cake, you know, at least for Petersburg Ranger District. So other communities throughout the Southeast. Okay, talk about timber real quickly. Thomas Bay, I signed a decision notice 2 weeks ago. We're gonna move forward now with marking that particular unit. The prescription we came up with is different than what we started with. So we need to go back in, mark it. Our wildlife biologist wants to take another look at it. It's been a few years since he's been in there just to reassess that. Our intent is to have that marked and laid out this year and offered for sale by this fall, some time frame, so that'll be available. And that's basically on about 561 acres and about 12.6 million board feet. Those are kind of where we're at right now with that process. So something coming up again in that arena. We still have small sales going alongside the road. You'll see it periodically. We're selling, you know, from 10 to 50 trees, give or take, individually selected by people looking out there, and we go out and verify those numbers and then mark them for sales. They're kind of ongoing, and we're starting to see a little more activity with the roads clearing up, so we'll see more and more people out there doing that as well. And of course, free use permits are always available, so you can definitely come in and talk with my timber crew to get a free use permit. 12-mile decks, we haven't talked about that a lot. That is the sale on Cake Access Road. We sold that timber, you know, last December. Peak Engineering won the bid on that, and they will be starting to collect and harvest that stuff this spring. So it should be done probably by early summer. Should be pretty straightforward. They get pick up the logs, they get to transport them, they're going to barge them out of there. We do have one challenge that we're going to have to do a little consultation with NOAA because they're barging them across the water for NOAA's concern for endangered species, but we're moving forward with that. So I think everything's going well in the timber side. Talk about cabins and trails. BIL cabins, bipartisan infrastructure law. So we partnered with National Forest Foundation to construct approximately 25 new cabins throughout the Southeast and throughout Alaska. 10 cabins across the region and here in Natongas, and that we'll do that. So the first help is a, well, Church Bight Cabin Repairs. It's on Admiralty Island, which is relatively close to us. So they reached out, they said, we want to let people know about that. And kind of what they're doing up there, they're going to replace and refurbish furnishings and the counters. It'll all be interior, and they're going to transport by landing craft and by airplane. So that's just an update on what's going on up there as well. We're also doing a West Point cabin repair this year. We got moved up on a priority list to happen this year, and that's going to be replace old rusting fabricated brackets of the cabin's foundation and porch with new components that will improve that stability and kind of upgrade that cabin a little bit. It's our most used cabin on the district, so we're definitely going to do some improvements on that. From our aquatic side, on QU, we're doing the second phase of a heavy equipment restoration project out there, which is basically a stream restoration project. And we'll be working out there all summer long. And the in-stream work will be June 15th, early July. And then there'll be some outside the stream work that go into the September timeframe. So lots of work going on out there as well. SRS RAC, I just came off a call today, some news on that. We still need three more applicants on that, so we're looking for more people for that particular process. SRS RAC, Secure Rare Schools Act, has about $3 million available for the south half of the Tongass. So something we want to kind of definitely have to get these members in place. It takes 15 members. We need three more to get on there to get those. So we're looking for applicants for that particular RAC process. Again, so FACA process has to be approved by Washington. It becomes kind of a challenging process. We thought we had their numbers. They came back, so well, some of these people are excluded because they were prior members on this RAC. So that's my update. Any questions for me?
Any questions of Mr. Bourne?
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Excuse me, seeing none. Thank you for your report. Or do you have anything, Bob? And excuse me for this cough I've got here. Item C, Petersburg School District Activities Director Cabral is supposed to share information regarding the possible future of a turf and track field, but I don't see him today, so we'll go on to the mayor's report. And this is from Southeast Conference on February 6th. The Senate panel with Stedman, Giesel, Keel, and Stevens. What I took out of this panel was three issues for funding that they're going to try to do this year: energy, education, and try to redo the retirement. And also they're going to deal with the governor's executive orders, and some of them they don't like. Number one funding issue this year is for energy, and they're talking about an intertie from Kenai to Fairbanks, and that's going to be a $412 million project, and half of it state, half of it federal. And in some discussions with our local representatives for Southeast, they're hoping that there's a possibility, since they're funding energy issues, maybe, you know, SEPA can possibly get some more money if they move forward with the third turbine at Tyee. So keep our fingers crossed. Talking about the Alaska Marine Highway System, the main drawback now is finding workforce. They could have had two mainline ferries running, but they didn't have, you know, the workers. In fact, the Hubbard going up Lynn Canal was actually canceled once or twice last summer because of the crew shortage. As far as ferry replacement, it's looking like 4 years out, and for the first ferry, the Testamina is going to be the new ferry for Cross Gulf. The Taslina, they're adding crew quarters to that in 2024. Columbia needs upgrades to its controllable pitch propellers, and that's in 2025. Kennecott needs some emissions upgrades to meet EPA standards. And the Matanuska is still undergoing assessment of its hull, whether the steel is good enough to keep using that vessel. So talked about the fishing industry. I went to the fisheries panel. That's why I couldn't attend the meeting with Senator Stedman with the hospital group. It doesn't look really good, as we all know. According to Tracy Welch, the CEO of United Fishermen of Alaska, there's 17 plants that are going to be of various sizes that will be not operating this year in Alaska. And we all are aware of the situation with Trident. That's a local plant. So hopefully, you know, they could get some movement on that. Bill Tola gave a little address, and she said the feds have given $400 million to the state for Alaska Marine Highway System. So it's not like it's a lack of money that the system has. It's just, you know, trying to get some new ships online, and they're also planning on doing a lot of upgrades to many of the facilities shoreside, and one of them is Prince Rupert, and that's a $37 million project for the new dock there. But they see that as a very important link to getting to the lower 48. Not a lot of other things to talk about. The Inter Island Ferry is running well between Ketchikan and Kaufman Cove. It's has some funding issues, but the state generally helps them out there. They had 700 sailings last year and moved 46,000 people. That's quite a few on a little boat back and forth across Clarence Straits. And that ridership has been growing steadily. Then there was the transportation symposium. Basically covered the same things. Crew shortage, Hubbard Upland Canal, Columbia for 15 months for the propeller job. Matt Nuska to be determined on this condition, and standardizing terminals so all the boats can use them, which would I'm surprised I didn't think of that earlier. So that's pretty much it for the Southeast Conference. And then there was a AML, which a few of us attended, member Lynn, member Walsh, and the manager and I. So if you guys think of anything that I don't cover, I'm not going to cover too much, but Senator Sullivan's address was, he was talking about trying to help the fishing fleet out by trying to get the Department of Agriculture to see why the fishermen can't be, treated more like farmers. You know, farmers get all the crop, you know, crop insurance and subsidies, and I think that's been a discussion they've been working on for a while. Alaska Municipal League, I talked with Robert Venables from Southeast Conference. He offered whatever help that organization could do to help with the condition of the fisheries. I ended up attending a Lincoln Day dinner while at AML. The governor was there, Senator Sullivan, invited them and a few other senators to Mayfest this year, but we'll see if any of them show. There was quite a few elected officials there from around the state, and you know, we got introduced to the crowd, which was kind of surprising. But anyway, you guys have anything to add?
Through the mayor, I've got some things in my report.
Okay. Oh, you just do it next. Okay. So if is there any questions from assembly members? So one other thing we talked about, the conference of mayors, this discussion happens every year. I haven't attended a conference of mayor meeting, but they keep asking, is it a viable group? And it is, if you have, you know, some topics that you want to bring forward to the legislature or the governor and his staff. And there was nothing glaring this time that we took any action on. So still talking about quarterly meetings, but we're, you know, scattered all over the state and have different work schedules, so it's kind of hard to do. So that's it for my report. And now it's time for the manager's report.
Yes, sir. Parks and Rec will be hosting more swim and gym time during spring break. Check online or swing by for a flyer for your fridge. Borough employee Christine Lynn won the annual Chamber of Commerce Young Person of the Year for her work as a volunteer at the fire department in EMS and youth sports in the community. Congratulations to Christine. During the recent warm weather spell, the Public Works crew constructed a pole barn to store bridge repair materials and other supplies that need to be kept under cover. Most of the materials for this structure were surplus that we had on hand. We are working some unbudgeted overtime at the moment in motor pool to keep the plow equipment running and address the routine needs of the department. Still no applicants for the open motor pool mechanic position. All departments are currently working on next year's budget and monitoring their current year's activities, and we'll see more information on that as we get into later in March. Director Cotta will be on vacation from March 8th through the 18th. Sanitation Department Supervisor Aaron Morrell will be acting Public Works Director during this time. Arctic Fire and Security will arrive March 11th and start installing the new locking system at the PD. Install should be completed on or before March 22nd. Finance Director and her staff are currently reviewing and editing the sales tax code for more transparency and clarification. Edits will be going before the Assembly at a future meeting. Assessment notices went out in the mail on March 1st. Property owners have 1 month to appeal their assessment. And the library's annual inventory closure is scheduled for Monday, March 4th through the 7th. Harbor staff has been working, as you saw, with Alan Murph on a few conceptual designs and cost estimates for future harbor projects. So we have stuff shovel ready if money becomes available. And the harbor is working on the tour ship schedule. It's a bit higher with 118 currently on the schedule, although that can change throughout the year. Harbor Board has met and worked through the Borough Harbor lease considerations, as you heard, and they have been forwarded to admin to start working on actual formal ordinance. South Harbor Dredge Project made some national news for the positive use of infrastructure monies that allowed the Corps to dredge the harbor for the first time in 42 years and accept future responsibility for the dredging work. So great job by the harbor staff, as well as all the folks in the Corps that helped make this possible for us. Derek is working with Jackie from the hospital about Medicaid. They've changed some of their systems, and we have about 3 years of Medicaid information that has to be manually put into their system so that it is able for when they do their Medicaid audits. COVID kind of hit the assisted living facility over the last couple of weeks. We had 7 residents with COVID. Everybody is doing better. We are in the process of evaluating the rate structure at assisted living. It's likely rates will increase for next year's budget, and this includes for food, where we've seen dramatic increases in costs. Paperwork has been submitted and approved for the annual operating cost adjustment factors, or OCAF, which is a rent adjustment for Petersburg elderly housing. This is a HUD process that we have to go through every year. Rain Country Contractors completed the annual boiler maintenance, where Brian discovered and repaired an issue with a fuel line, improving the efficiency and effectiveness of the system at elderly housing. Ongoing firefighter course at the fire hall started March 2nd. If an individual is interested, now is a great time to join. Classes will run on Saturdays until completed. Borough is also hosting a wilderness first aid course for the public. We partnered with PMC to do this. The course is March 24th from 8 to 6. Contact the volunteer fire department or PMC wellness office for details. I met with Tribal President Deborah O'Gara and Vice Chair Nathan Lopez to discuss the possibility of moving forward on the 8th Street housing project. PIA is looking at the project and will let me know. I also spoke with Jackie Peta from Klingit and Haida Housing this past week. They are working with PIA on the possibility of moving forward with the housing project in Petersburg. So they're also very much involved in this conversation. And mentioned Assembly Members Lynn and Fine Walsh, along with Mayor Jensen and myself, we met with ADOT, Department of Transportation, South Coast Regional Director Christopher Goines, to discuss future projects that could benefit Petersburg. The group also met with Senator Stedman and Representative Himshute to discuss various issues related to school funding, the hospital, deferred maintenance, and other future capital needs. As the mayor pointed out, there's not likely to be a very large, if any, capital budget for this year in the state. And that's it, unless there's questions.
Questions of the manager and his report? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Steve. We'll move on to item 14, unfinished business. Ordinance 2024-01, an ordinance amending section 16.10.160, required authorization for disposal of borough real property of the Petersburg Municipal Code to increase the assessed property value requirement for sale or exchange of borough property to be ratified by the voters of the Petersburg Borough. This is the second reading. If adopted in three readings, this ordinance would increase the assessed property value requirement for sale or exchange of borough land to be ratified by borough voters from $500,000 to $2 million. The last time the requirement was amended was in 1990, when it was increased from $100,000 to $500,000, where it is currently. The Assembly approved this ordinance by a 4-1 vote in its first reading. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
So move.
Is there a second?
Motion was made by Member Marsh, seconded by Member Fine Walsh, I believe. Discussion? Member Marsh.
Yes, so I do struggle with that $2 million cap. And I understand, I visited with Liz last week, and it seemed that that was an aggregate. Let's say somebody had a project that the multiple parcels or one or more parcels would equal that $2 million cap, and that would not need to go before the voters. Because the Assembly represents the citizens of the community as well as the land itself essentially belongs to the citizens of the community, I think that $2 million is a bit high, and it would seem that it would be prudent to have the citizens weigh in on if that approval should be granted. So I'd like to see it drop down to, we'll say $1.5 million rather than the $2 million. I don't know if there's interest in the Assembly for that, because, like I say, this land belongs to the people of Petersburg.
So is that in a form of a motion, Member Marsh?
That would be a great idea. Thank you.
Okay. Motion's been made by Member Marsh to reduce the amount allowed for the land sales by the Assembly from $2 million to $1.5 million. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion? You know, I kind of agree with this motion, this amendment. It went from $100,000 to $500,000, but that was like 30 years ago. To triple it, you know, it seems like, you know, $1.5 million is quite a bit of money. A lot of land could be purchased with that. So, and I agree with Member Marsh. We represent the people in the community. Well, that's my input on the amendment. Any other input?
Well, I think one of the things we discussed last time was waiting for October to get a vote of the people. But 1.5, you know, people have talked to me about this, and you want to be a good representative. And 1.5 seems reasonable to me.
The other input? So we'll vote on this amendment to lower the cap from $2 million to $1.5 million. Clerk, call the roll.
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Rob?
Yep.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Okay, the amendment on the main motion to reduce the cap from $2 million to $1.5 million passes with a 6-1 vote, with Member Stanton Greger opposed. And that brings us back to the main motion as amended. Member Lynn.
But after I read this, I think there needs to be another amendment, which I'm planning to work on next couple weeks. But when we put that before the voters, I think there has a responsibility to put in there a number of things about the value, why we're doing it, and what benefit it has to the borough and benefit to the citizens. And so I think there needs to be an amendment, some kind of a change in this to be able to require that when it's put before the voters. But anyway, I intend to have an amendment to this on the next reading. Thank you.
Just to clarify this for me, if we pass this in the three readings, that means we don't have to go to the vote of the public if it's not over $1.5 million?
Yes, sir. That's correct. This ordinance does not require the assembly to go to the voters. So if that's what you're intending, you have a different direction you'll need to go in.
So if we pass this ordinance, we have the authority to sell land up to whatever dollar value we end up coming with. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I thought that was the case. I just thought it'd be good to speak that publicly. Okay, so we have an amended motion on the floor to move the cap from $500,000 to $1.5 million for the sale of property. Any discussion on that? Clerk, call the roll.
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Rob?
Yep.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-01 passes in its second reading as amended. Next item, ordinance 2024-02, an ordinance amending section 16.12.030 of the Petersburg Municipal Code to allow for disposal of borough land for a public benefit purpose. This is the second reading. If adopted in three readings, this ordinance will provide for disposal of borough real property for less than assessed or appraised value or for other forms of consideration in addition to or in lieu of, in whole or in part, direct monetary payment to the borough when the proposed disposal is for a project meeting both of the following requirements. One, the project consists of economic development consisting of installation, construction, or operation of new or expanded industrial, manufacturing, or commercial facilities, construction of affordable housing, or construction of large residential housing developments, creating 20 or more residential lots that would address the shortage of reasonably priced housing within the borough. And two, the assembly determines the project will result in a significant short or long-term public benefit to the Petersburg borough. Public benefit, as used hereunder, means a project that provides one or more positive economic or non-economic impacts on the community that, in the assembly's determination, outweigh maximizing the direct monetary payment to the borough. This ordinance was approved by a 4-1 vote in its first reading. I'd entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2024-02 in its second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made with a second. Discussion. Member Stan Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of different pieces. I'll start with a clarifying question for the manager, if I could, Steve. You know, the ordinance says right now, for less than assessed or appraised value, which means during these three readings, it would be up to us to decide which of those will be for the future?
Through the mayor, yes. Okay. That needs to be clarified.
Thought so. Just a point of clarification for those listening. And a secondary follow-up procedure question, would that be done through an amendment, Clerk Regula? Or how would we go? What's the procedural way to do that?
Yes,